Welcome to this month's Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
Hi, I'm Paul Rothman, Dean of the Medical Faculty and CEO of Johns Hopkins Medicine.
We are talking about something very timely this month, and that's apps. Gosh, so many people have them on their phones for all kinds of purposes, and there are just a ton of medical apps.
My understanding is it's, if not the most popular app, it's certainly on the rise more so. Maybe after gaming, it's up in its popularity.
How do you account for that?
Well, I think for many reasons, one of which is healthcare is 18% of GDP in the U.S. It's a large market. It has something that increasingly is moving out of the sole domain of the providers into a more consumer or patient control. When we were really young, it was Marcus Welby, MD. He came to your house and he told you what to do and you listened and that was it. And your sole source of health information was what the physician provided you. And nowadays, ability to get information is fast. Increasingly, you have control over your own data. And so I think a lot of the apps are focusing on that. And also, we have a clunky healthcare delivery system, and that's a nice way of saying it. And a lot of these apps are trying to fill the gaps of our delivery system. And a lot of them are great, so it's certainly a growth industry.
You sound like you're in favor of the use of these apps. Would you say that they help to allow patients to become more empowered with regard to their own care?
I think that's absolutely true. In terms of either scheduling or getting more health information or measuring their own health and wellness to utilizing information, I think it's terrific.
Now, the Federal Trade Commission and some other federal agencies have stepped into this fray, and they've said, wait a minute, some of these apps are not providing us with data we can trust. What are your thoughts about that?
As a new area of endeavor, it's probably needs some regulation because unlike some other apps, people are going to utilize this information and perhaps act on it that might cause harm. So I think it's really important for someone to go and regulate this space.
Isn't often the problem with whatever it is the transducer? That would be the thing that's measuring blood pressure or the thing that's actually trying to assess heart rate and its integration with the app?
That happens. I don't know all the apps. I just was working with someone on the EKG app, and we did it to each other, and it was fairly accurate, but I'm not sure all the apps are that good. And you're right. There's a lot of things that go wrong with the apps. So it is the right space for the FDA. It's a device.
Well, here at Johns Hopkins, of course, we have quite a number of these apps that are in use.
We have a lot of apps, and the fun thing is a lot of the people who are producing them are actually either students or residents or fellows. The millennial generation has grown up with smartphones and technology in a way that certainly my generation didn't, and they're very facile at programming and also on the power of these apps. So it's funny, a lot of the ones that are being generated here come from our younger folks. But we do a lot of them, and some of them we develop, some of them we partner with other people to do. They're certainly going to fill up the healthcare space, and hopefully many of them will be added value to the patient.
Now, some of ours here are interfaced with the Apple Watch, and that's kind of a price point that might be a little challenging for some consumers.
I think that's true, but not all of them. As I said, there'll be a range of those apps. The easier ones were with the Apple Watch, but eventually they'll form on other watches or other devices. We do some stuff with Under Armour, and just when you look at the future of what we wear, a lot of these apps will be working with the clothing we wear. The world is going really fast here. The Apple Watch is just one example, but I think wearables and other devices that are maybe at a lower price point will all end up interacting with these apps at some point.
Would you predict that here at Hopkins at some point we'll allow the data that is gathered by apps to actually populate the electronic health record?
That's a great question. And not just here, it's every place. Eventually, absolutely. But again, you go back to the requirement for the data to be accurate because this gets more regulated from your EKG to what you eat to how you sleep. I think that's all at some point going to be really important information for the physicians to be able to look at.
Here's my last question. If you were giving someone advice right now about which apps to choose, what would you say?
I think there's so many out there. I think you have to find ones that are most useful for you.
So no ratings right now from you?
No, not yet.
Not right now. But for right now, you would say that you're enthusiastic about the continued development of these at Hopkins.
Yeah, and at Hopkins and every place else. You know, the information we work on in terms of taking care of patients, if you actually have accurate information because they have an app on their watch or some other device that actually monitors their sleep and you're trying to understand how they're sleeping, it's going to be powerful. Or trying to have an app and an Apple Watch to monitor people with epilepsy and trying to understand if we can predict before they have seizures to prevent them. I said we do some stuff with Under Armour. And I think increasingly the information you're going to get is real-time information. There's just a huge range that I think is going to be really helpful as we move forward.
Very good. Thank you so very much. That's this month's Pulse.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
For more about the wealth of apps, software, and other digital tools being used and developed here at Johns Hopkins, please visit our web-based journal called Insight. You can find it at hopkinsmedicine.org/insight.